Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
Ladies, gentlemen, I have gathered you from far and wide because you are the best at what you do. As everyone knows, gaming is our passion, and reporting on gaming is our skill. We spent many hours, many long, sweat-filled days playing many titles from many different consoles. And it is our duty to find the good, the bad, and the unfortunate in everything we place at our fingertips. It is because of so many games being released in the year of our Lord, known as 2011, I have decided that in order to cover it all, we must split the year in half. Now, I am not going to just automatically transform the next half year into 2012. That would require a wizard of magnificent power. And unfortunately, our wizard is currently detained in Beijing for smuggling a brick of cocaine into the country. Don't think we'll ever see him alive again, so I have put up a Craigslist posting looking for any pure-hearted wizards out there for the next time we have to do this. But this is beside the point. Today, we shall use our knowledge to discuss our current favorites in the gaming world. And then, we shall march in blindly into battle to take on what's to come for the second half of the year. Some of us may die on this journey, but that's what extra lives and level checkpoints are for. Boston Bastard Brigade, the Issues Program, I'm Rachel Moore. With our powers combined, we will not be stopped, nor will we face defeat. For we are the elite gamers of the benevolent press, and we shall not cease until a taste of glorious victory is on our noble tongue.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 105, the Elite Gamers of the Benevolent Press.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to a special episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
Lilonic.
And today we're going to do something a little bit special. As you could tell from the intro that we had made, we have some very special guests here that are going to be discussing the first half of 2011 in gaming. Doesn't that sound like fun, Lilonic?
Yes.
So, first of all, joining us here are two guys that we had on a previous show. They make your heads turn and your bellies ache with laughter on both the Issues Program and the later show. Both will be joining the Land of Esh team in the near future. Please welcome Issues Guy and the Sarge.
Hey!
Hey, how's it going?
How Thanks are you two doing today?
Super. I'm in a suit and ready to go.
You're yeah, very you look professional very looking.
Pretty Mr. Today. Business.
And our other guest today is a female gamer out of San Francisco whose online pwnage is as epic as the characters she cosplays as. You can catch her videos, reviews, and interviews on her own site at rachel.com. I am thrilled to welcome the one, the only Rachel Moore.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hi.
You actually got rachel.com?
I did. Well, it's because I spell it all weird.
Oh, okay.
Right. Now, you were over at Comic-Con this past week. How was that?
Amazing.
I heard you had a bit of an injury.
I did. Well, I had a lot of problems happen, wardrobe malfunctions and everything, and pretty sure I broke my toe, but I still rocked those stiletto boots.
Well, at least you didn't get poked in the eye with a giant lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
Or stabbed in the face with a pen.
Yeah. The bar last year. One.
I know, last year for, what, like a Harry violent. Potter panel or something?
Which panel was it?
I think it was a Harry Potter panel, wasn't it?
Oh, as soon as Harry Potter comes into play, it's all over.
Yeah,
all
yeah. Those Potter files are dangerous. They're yeah. scary people.
Oh, I'm going to use my magic wand. That's a pen. Stab!
Yeah. Oh,
there's blood everywhere.
I think that it was before like a really big panel. It was either before like a Kevin Smith panel or like a Doctor Who or Torchwood panel. And they were all like, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a Kevin Smith panel because those fans are bloodthirsty.
Yeah, I think so. And they'd like, oh, you know, you don't want to go out there. Somebody just got stabbed. They're like, what? Huh? Where's the Avengers?
Someone had to go, what's a Nubian?
Forgeticus! Just poke somebody.
So, first of all, guys, as a whole, gaming in 2011, how do you think it's been going so far? Let's go first with Rachel.
I think it's been pretty solid, but we've had better years. I don't know, I'm still not into this whole sequels and reboots thing that we've been doing the past couple years. I crave something creative and new, and I don't feel like we've really been getting that.
And I agree. Well, in some cases, but granted, we do get the sequels that have been surpassing the original, which thankfully happens more often in video gaming than it does in movies.
Agreed. I totally agree with that as well. I just hate when I do see something come out that's really creative, it gets overlooked because it's not a sequel.
Right.
And that's not telling developers that we want something new. It's telling them that we want the same thing over and over.
Yeah, which is technically a bad thing because...
Yeah.
You get clones, and then you get the direct-to-DVD style clones, and then you get the
The ones that are misspelled, and they're like, you know, it's Transmorphers.
We just get another Modern Warfare over and over again.
Yeah, the same first-person shooters over and over again, and I couldn't agree more. I think this year has been good with gaming, and yeah, there's been some improvements to all those old titles that have seen sequels this year. I mean, this really is the year of the sequel, but...
Mm-hmm.
But I agree that I like fresh parties, I like new ideas, and even the second half of this year, I mean, which we're going to talk about later though, but it's still filled with sequels. There's not a lot of new titles, it's a lot of remakes. I mean, I'm a card-carrying member of the Nintendo fan club, but I'm even getting sick of the remakes to a point. I mean, I'm playing Ocarina of Time here, but, you know, I kind of feel dirty doing it, you know, I feel a little dirty.
Well, it wasn't even that long ago, at least on the PS2, where we had the most... random games ever. Random genres.
Just random one-off titles.
But
like random samurai games. Way of the Samurai was a good example of a game that came out of nowhere, and it's like, wow, this game's awesome. And now it's true. You don't. And if they do come out, they get buried by these big titles that are coming out, which are these sequels from these big companies.
Gears of War 4.8.
Exactly.
So epic, we passed 3.
That totally got hidden was Majin and the Forsaken Kingdom.
Oh,
that
yes.
game, it reminds me of a PS2 platform game, but of course modernized, and it just got railroaded by all the sequels.
And I agree. And then you got these other games that Nintendo are refusing to release, which are totally original and would do great, but...
No, you're talking about games that have been released in Japan?
Yeah, and will be released in Europe. The Last Story and Xenoblade.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some rumors that hopefully Xenoblade will all get work itself out with the campaign and everything, and it will be released.
Personally,
unlike what's also happening with I don't know how much you guys have read about the Mega Man Legends thing and Mega Man Legends.
Oh my god, I'm so upset about
getting
that.
Bleeped in the butt, and it's just really bad news because I don't know, I'm such a Mega Man fan just from cuz at my core I'm an old dog gamer that. And that's another thing I wanted to mention a little bit about this year in gaming, not meaning to retread, is too much focus on downloadable content to finish games off. If I'm paying $60 for a game, give me the whole game. Make the downloadable content a complete different mission a completely different alteration to the game in the way that Red Dead did it last year with the zombie missions and stuff like that. That's pretty cool. But in a game like Dragon's Age 2, which I really, really loved... just to get more missions and more missions and pay for it, more Mortal Kombat, to get play for more and more characters. I'll play a game for 90 hours to unlock everything, but I don't want to pay more. We're paying enough.
Exactly. Well, even like Alan Wake was really bad about that. You finished the main game and the story made no sense. And people were like, oh, that's because you have to buy the DLC to make the story finish. And that's not cool.
Yeah. And I agree. And then you got this other one that's coming out, the Night Springs Alan Wake, which is supposed to tie everything up. But I feel like that they should have done that in the first place with the first Alan Wake game.
We promise we'll sum it up on this game. You just got to download this game.
Just one more. It's like a crack rock. Just take one more. You want one more.
Come on.
And
man.
I'm just afraid.
Chase the dragon.
I just don't think that's the smart way to combat what the fear in the gaming industry is, I think, about people eventually not wanting to buy consoles and just download, you know, all these little quick titles and stuff like that. They're trying to make as much money as possible. I think if they just put the quality back in the content of the games and keep the games the same price generally as they've been since I can remember buying early Nintendo games for 50, 60 bucks when they first came out. I mean, it's generally been the same. People will know that they'll have a deeper experience on a console. I just don't want to keep paying for it to get the whole thing out of the game, you know, to eat the whole meal.
Well, even on top of that, I really despise companies that know their game's not finished, but they'll just patch it later. If I pay $60 for a game, that game better be finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get to that later.
I think computer games are, or some online games and online multiplayer games are even more guilty of that. A game like Star Trek Online. I am a Star Trek geek. I was one of the three people that bought that game. No, but a lot of people bought it in the first week when I was first out there playing it. I mean, this is last year, but a lot of people were out there, but they released it prematurely. And by the time they updated and updated some good stuff, I had left and I'm never coming back. And they did it a lot with.
Yeah. Fallout New Vegas, I was the same way. By the time the patches came out, I was already done.
Yeah, there's no way I'm seeing any more time and money into it.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
We're not done like beat it, but done as in I'm done with this game. I'm tired of it by now.
Right.
So.
Because as good as something is, if it burns you the wrong way, it's like dating someone and you really, really love them, but they burn you the wrong way, you're going to suddenly hate them. And I can turn on a game or a movie or a franchise if it wrongs me. I don't care how good you try to tell me that bleep is, I can turn on it.
Yes.
Turned on in a matter of hours. I got Medal of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
I had it for 4 hours, and I packaged it up.
Your updates
and I said, I'm not playing this game anymore, and I sold it within a week.
Dude, you survived 4 hours? I stopped like 30 minutes into that game, and I was like, this game blows.
I'm like, you can barely see people. It's like, it's horrible gameplay. You only get to choose between two different people. It's customizable, it's cool. It's like, oh man, I really wasted my money on this, but I didn't. I got almost as much as I paid for it, and then I just put all that money toward Black Ops. So, like, because I'm guilty, I'm one of the guys who loves the first-person shooters coming from the military and just having that fun.
So. I love a good first-person shooter. I just think there's so, it's one of those, it's like the platformers in the Nintendo age. It's such a saturated market that there's so much bleep out there that you have to wait through it.
I like the FPSs that don't feel like an FPS, like BioShock.
Right.
I love – that's an amazing FPS. It doesn't make me constantly think about it being an FPS.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. My type of first-person shooters are the ones that you can literally just get lost in and think that you are in that area. Like, a good example of that would be one of the games that they showed off at E3, Rise of Nightmares. That's a game you feel like you can easily get lost in, feel like you're actually being chased by these creatures, and you've got to literally fend them off.
Is that like Insomnia or something in that game that came out? It's like, was it called Insomnia or something like that? It's just pretty much you're walking around, it's just completely darkness, and it's at the first person perspective, like, you know, attack.
Amnesia?
Amnesia, thank you, thank you. Amnesia looks sick, and I'm like, that's the kind
Dark Descent.
Yes. Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
The one that has zero punctuation. The ones that just go bloogie-woogie-woo all over the place.
Has there been any downloadable games? I know that a lot of people consensus around here as far as downloadable content isn't always cracked up to be, but what about downloadable full games itself? Like the fun games or games that are like, you know, offshoots or prequels from other stuff. Like, I enjoyed Stacking this year. Like, I enjoyed playing that game.
Tim Schafer has never done wrong. Let's just
except
keep it at
that. Except that most of their games are buggy as hell.
Mm-hmm. And I will admit, 1,200 Xbox points for the length of that game was a little bit too much. Because I wound up beating Stacking in about 5 hours. And then I beat the Great Hobo King in like half an hour.
But you're awesome.
It's so charming, though.
It is an adorable game.
for a little cute basic game, I also enjoyed for the WiiWare the bit trip games,
yes,
which were a combination of music and platforming and it all coming together. I just for a lot of free demos that I downloaded, and then I just downloaded the whole game for I think it was $5, might have been like $8. It was well worth it, and I kind of get a kick out of old school jumping and had some bonus levels like Pitfall and things like that. So yeah. I think there's a lot of good games that are available, and that's sometimes you get some gems, you get some hand drawn games that mm-hmm. just look really beautiful, and yeah, I think you got to search for it, but some because there's a lot of you know crap out there, but.
I think Blonic wants to speak.
Can I say something? Can I? No? Okay. Anyways, there's one game that recently I just was able to download. It's called Trenched, and it is an awesome game. I mean, it's one of those games that brings me back to, like, mech assault or mech-type games, but also it's kind of funny because you can actually run around and blow things up. It's kind of like a tower-based game, but yet you're still able to move around and whatnot. But one of the other games that came out last year, which was... Toy Soldiers? Yeah, and they're coming out with a new one that I'm looking forward to, Toy Soldiers The Cold War. And it's kind of going towards the idea of, like, the game that I want them to finally design, which is a real-time strategy game where you're going to be able to switch between, you know, going up from the God eye view or Eagle eye view or whatnot and be able to go onto the battlefield and fight the battle right on the thing by either third or first-person shooting.
Have you had an opportunity to play any of the Total War series?
No. Is that what is that based off of?
I mean, there are a lot of different eras. The most recent one is the Total War Samurai series.
Yes.
The one I played the most was Total War Rome. It's a lot. It has similarness to Civilization.
You mean Total War Shogun?
Yeah, Shogun. Yeah, that's what it is. And but then it also you can go into a sort of a first person, not or a 3D environment and physically fight the battles and stuff like that. It's not exactly what you're talking about, but I'm trying to say.
But I was thinking more like a Command and Conquer, like how they had that design. That was definitely one of those things. Even though I understand that Command and Conquer 4 really sucked, but yeah, for the most part, I feel that if we could get that base, I mean, I believe this is a PC based game. If you could bring that on to Xbox, because apparently my computer sucks really badly and it can't play in any of these new games. Thank you, Intel. Thank you for having created video cards and selling us shitty computers.
It's Microsoft doing it all over again.
Yep.
Now, I feel like that could happen. I feel like when I saw the Wii U going hands-on with that, I felt like that's something that we can do at the same time. Mm. Go the third or first person on the TV and then the God mode on the Wii U controller.
That's a really good idea. That actually would be pretty cool because I did see a demo of that.
That would be a moneymaker, basically. I mean,
yeah.
That's almost like combining Nintendo DS with Wii, almost, because you're like that two-point perspective where you're seeing the overhead and then you're seeing the actual side scroll, so, or whatever. Because I own neither, but I've had fun on all of them.
So. Out of all the titles that have come out so far, let's first focus on regular console physical copies, and we'll focus on download. Which is the one video game this year that has so far defined 2011?
I kind of struggled on this one because I wanted to think about the games I put the most time into because that really defines the question for me. I can think about what are the best games of the year rankings-wise and what got the best votes, but basically, the games I played the most, I have to, you know, say Face Raiders. I'm kidding. Not Face Raiders. But Face Raiders is really fun, a lot of fun. Sure. I must admit, the first half of my year has been clouded a lot because I've been in a bubble the last couple of years and not been able to afford a lot of gaming. So I've been catching up on multiple years of gaming. Just got Gamefly finally, which is an amazing thing to be able to play.
Even though it takes over a week for something to be sent out.
I know.
But, and then they tell you that it's going to come, and then I end up getting some crappy game. Basically, I was waiting for some of the games we're talking about later to get in the mail, and I kept getting really crappy Wii titles that I didn't want to play on there for just to check out. But really, it's all about this thing for me this year. I got way into it. I never had a... I'm realizing we're not on video here. I just flashed my 3DS. I never had a regular DS. When I was younger, I never could get into handheld systems. I didn't have the money to get it. I had to just basically pick one system and go with it.
You see, I had the giant 10-pound Game Boy. That was my first system.
Yeah, that was the only one I had briefly, but then I sold that to pay for a Super Nintendo, and I sort of never really got back into handheld. So this is my first DS as well. So just being introduced to the concept of it and just how it feels is really quite amazing. And for games, the game that I played the most on it is Street Fighter 3DS, and I've just gotten way into playing Street Fighter again, which was a game from my youth from the 16-bit era that I was completely into and obsessed with, and I missed out on a lot of the great console games of this, or fighting games of this generation, except for Smash Brothers, of course, because I only owned a Wii for a while. I own a 360 now, but and I recently played the console version of it, which is amazing too, but the most hours of my time have gone into that. I don't know if it defines the year, but it defines the year for me so far. It was a tough choice. I mean, I really wanted to pick maybe Mortal Kombat because I loved Mortal Kombat as a fighting game. Dead Space 2, Portal 2, of course, BioShock. They were all amazing games. I really, part of me really loved Dragon Age 2, but it's just too flawed of a game to give it too much credit. I just love BioWare games so much, and so much of the heart and the characters, and I just find myself going through it as such an amazing gaming experience. But if I really have to give it the game I enjoyed in and out the most, would be Street Fighter for the 3DS.
It's okay. You can admit it. It's because Cammy in 3D.
Yes, her ass in 3D is amazing. She's bouncing up into my face.
Well, Rachel here has famously cosplayed as Cammy.
Yeah.
I purposely play as Cammy just for that reason. Just in alternate outfit number 2 to see the 3D ass flying up into my face. That and to see Balrog's cool gangster outfit because I rock a ball. That's what I play. That's my vote.
Okay, Rachel, what's your physical release for 2011?
Physical release that's not been so dirty. So,
I really couldn't decide, so I'm gonna have to go with two different games because the way I looked at it was, what game did I really enjoy while I was playing it? But then now that I've played other games since these two, it's which games still have that effect on me? Because there can be a game and I'll love it, but as soon as I've moved on to the other game, I don't really feel anything for the game I just finished anymore, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
it's like a relationship. And if I move on and I really don't care anymore, then that game really didn't have much of a lasting effect on me. So I'm going to have to go with Portal 2. I still think in Portal, just the dialogue and the character dynamics in that whole game was amazing. It's very much like an emotional relationship with the characters like in Dragon Age 1. And then secondly, I have to say my second game that really affected me because it was just balls to the wall fun is Bulletstorm.
Yes.
I just the gameplay aspect and how exciting and just ridiculously over the top fun that game was. I wish more games.
Favorite robot pal. Ishii was okay, but he's not.
I love it.
I
wish more games would not take themselves so seriously and just say, this is a game, let's have fun.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And Portal 2 is definitely on my list. And I gotta say, I loved hearing J.K. Simmons as Cave Johnson, even though every time I heard him, I was just waiting for him to say, this is Cave Johnson, I demand pictures of Spider-Man!
Peter Parker, no, I want Spider-Man! See, it's funny, every time I see him, I think about Oz and seeing him get pooped on in a scene of the first season of Oz.
I didn't think about that, but now I always will.
Yeah, you got it. It's awful. I've seen him naked way too many times. Every time I watch SVU, the same thing.
I love SVU.
Oh, me too.
But I liked how in Portal 2, you saw how more of a benevolent person, or rather machine, Gladys really was.
She called me fat so many times.
But at least she sided at you, and, you know, a little bit of a spoiler, she actually does let you grow, and you get your friend back afterwards.
Yes.
And I have to say, that was one of the most wonderful endings I've seen in a video game thus far
really?
In 2011.
I thought it was really, really cliched. Like, I saw it coming halfway through the game. I was just like, this and this and this is going to happen.
No, you see, I was actually expecting all the turrets to actually open fire at you. Like, another
trick
from Gladys, so...
I hate when I can figure out something, a movie or a game, before it happens. It just kind of ruins the experience for me.
And my only complaint about Portal 2, because I did like the ending, was I felt like the end theme, Want You Gone, I love Jonathan Coulton. I just don't think it's as memorable as Still Alive.
Oh, I think the second one's better than the first one.
And why was that?
I like the beat better. The first one's kind of all like... chick movie, depressing, Lilith Fair sounding. And the second one's more just like, yeah.
You want to get up and dance.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Sarge, what's been your pick for physical release?
Physical release. You know what? It has to be the Wii Dance. I love going to parties just doing the Wii Dance.
You mean the Michael Jackson one?
No, the original one. With the Kesha. In the commercial? No, not really. But that was pretty funny. I have a funny story about that. In that event that I did something with Dance Wii and a bunch of people who were really drunk 2 weeks ago. But I would have to go with Phil as far as the amount of time you put into a game. And I wasn't really into it on PS3, but my friend had it and he had Mortal Kombat. The new one, and I was like, we started playing it, and, you know, it was fun to get back into it, and it's, I love the gore, the fact that, like, you know, just checking all that odd stuff, being able to do that stuff uncensored, like, especially when Shang Tsung turns into the clown, he's literally like the Joker fatality in DC versus Mortal Kombat. He turns into a clown, does the fake thing, and then he really blows your head off and stuff, but... We put hours upon hours, hours, just going back and forth for each other. And then we did the story thing. And you got to actually see some really cool things. Find out that Cyrax and Sector were real people and this clan. And I'm like, This is the, like, they were, it's like Star Trek. It's like the new movie Star Trek. They were totally rewriting everything and adding more dimensions to the actual story. So we actually enjoyed a lot more of it. So I wanted to play more. The fact that it's like, it's like 7 hours straight of playing it. It's like, listen, you gotta cool off. It's like, you know, go eat, go do something, go back to work, go to sleep or something. But I would have to say that game pretty much overtook me because I played Black Ops like throughout like the first start of it. As soon as I got it, just nonstop play, and I was just into it all that time. But as soon as I beat it, I like completely lost interest in the multiplayer online. And the game itself, for some reason. I never was that way with Modern Warfare 2. But with Mortal Kombat, you could literally beat it, and then just can you continue playing, because you can play against other people, you can play against people online.
Yep.
So I would have to say that Mortal Kombat is by far my definitive choice for 2011, the first 6 months, because I would love to say something cool like L.A. Noir or this or that, but I've literally never... I haven't played those games, so I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, well, I played this game, and you guys are totally right, and I pick your answer because you just told me all about the game. So it's like, but Mortal Kombat all the way, because I grew up with that in the arcade.
Now, are you excited about being able to play as Freddy Krueger in Mortal Kombat?
Don't talk about that yet. Wait.
Say what?
Don't talk about that yet.
You're going to make me cry.
Why? Why is that going to make you cry?
Because it's the stupidest idea ever.
And it's the new Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. They're not even doing it. They're not
Freddy's
even doing
bad enough.
It's Horshack Freddy Krueger?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't even think Kratos should have been in it. It just doesn't fit. It's like trying to cram Star Wars in Soul Calibur. It doesn't fit.
Link?
I would rather them do a complete offshoot and do like a Mortal Kombat-esque fighting game with all the horror film people.
Mortal Kombat versus Jason, WB or Michael,
Super Freddy. Slash Brothers.
Super Slash Brothers, yeah.
Totally, totally. Don't try to put them in my Mortal Kombat.
Michael Myers, Pinhead, Freddy, yeah. The Predator, the Alien.
We'll throw Ash in there for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With the chainsaw.
That'd be the story mode.
Chucky.
Chainsaw's
got to be in there, too. Ash,
Chucky.
Oh,
Chucky. Jigsaw.
Chucky, yep.
Because they're coming out with the new
It'll be like Kirby or Jigglypuff.
Jigglypuff.
Gremlins.
Kill you.
All right. Blumonic, what's been your favorite game so far of 2011?
I'd have to say Homefront. It is a what-if based type game of if North Korea was actually able to come to power and actually kick America's ass. And
I love the game video.
If you're living in the whole concept of America after it's been laid to waste and you're paying $20 for a gallon of gas, yeah, it's pretty crazy. I think it opened your eyes. I mean, for the most part, I'm with those games that are the what ifs. I mean, from Frontlines Fuel of War to, you know, everything else in between that I've been able to play or get my hands on, like Turning Point or something along those lines. Even though Turning Point wasn't good playing as a game, it was a great idea. Just they sucked at, like, when you're trying to shoot a Nazi or something like that, hiding behind a barrel and you could totally pick off their head, you were still hitting, like, a piece of the barrel that wasn't actually there. But with Homefront here, I have to say that it was a step up, and I think if they're able to keep rolling with this game, I think it could be one of those games that could step up and be a third party to take on both Battlefield, Bad Company, and also next to Call of Duty. I mean, I know Call of Duty is going to be coming out with the Modern Warfare 3 right now, and the only problem that I have with that is Treyarch isn't going to be as much of a big part with that. And I feel that with Sarge talking about that, you know, between the two, like Treyarch and Infinity Ward, you're kind of like, these kind of like jumped back and forth between like Call of Duty, like Modern Warfare, and then you go back to World at War, and then Modern Warfare 2, and then it came into Call of Duty. It's just, it's one of those things that came back and forth, and then they had this whole big, you know, fight and whatnot, and I wish if we could talk about that later, is I think a lot of the people that are doing these game designs, they need to, you know, have more respect. They keep on, like, I feel like they're torturing the game designers, more or less. Like, they are literally doing slave labor to these poor bastards. And, I mean, they're working constantly all night long and even into the day, and it's just, I feel really just bad coding, from what I've
coding,
heard.
Coding, coding,
yeah,
coding.
Yeah, code. Coding, oh, crap, we messed up. We got to go back a little bit. Oh, crap, we forgot to save. Code again. You know, it's just one of those things. I feel bad. But Homefront definitely was awesome, but I have to say that there was a little bit with the multiplayer. I believe they did fix that because of the fact that you have a massive amount of people playing on the multiplayer at once. It's 32. It's capable of 32 people all at once, and I love that concept. I want more people to be playing all at once. So yeah, definitely Homefront is top of my list.
You made a weird face, Rachel, when he said Homefront. Do you have an issue with Homefront?
He's the first person I heard that liked it, so I was surprised. I was like, as what?
I
am.
I don't know, it's just one of those games that I've been able to lately go back between, like I know Need for Speed, I usually play that in my racing game, I'll pop into Call of Duty. I have a problem because of the fact that I can't play Battlefield Bad Company 2 as much as I would like to, because of the fact that, for some reason, when I'm playing it in my Xbox, it says the disc is dirty. And I've bought the game twice now, and a brand new spanking disc, and it will pop in, and it'll be like, nope, disc is dirty. I'm like, okay, yeah, so... I don't know if it's my Xbox or if it's the game. So
your Xbox isn't like the game.
Yeah, apparently so. It just keeps spitting it out. It's like, bruh!
Could we have a potential red ring of death? Because that's what I had. It would not play Modern Warfare 2 at all. It just kept freezing or stomping. And disc is dirty. Cannot read it. And I had to send it out.
Oh, mine would say, please insert disc. And I'm like, there is a disc in there.
Exactly.
Yep.
See, that's when you want to get one of those clay pigeon launchers or a catapult and just have it launched down. Just use a 12-gauge shotgun and blow it out of the air. That's the one thing that annoys the living hell out of me with the console setup is here, let's just push it out. And then they push it out there, and then you get to play in, and then all of a sudden something catastrophic goes wrong, and you can't play your game system for a whole friggin' month because you got to send it out in the friggin' the coffin box. It's like,
that's why you gotta go with EB. I went to EB and got mine, and then every year I just go in, walk in, give it to them, and they give me a brand new one. And if the price has dropped since I brought it in, then I get money back every time.
What? Well, that's the thing. That's the thing about our area is in the New England area, EB is no more. GameStop.
I mean, GameStop. You gotta get their warranty. Their warranty is amazing. I get a brand new, right out of the box, 360 every year.
You do realize that you're just admitting this right now, and they're going to be listening in and saying, oh, we better not do this for Rachel anymore.
Yeah, no.
Oh, they've been doing it. I used to run in EB Games for 4 years, and, I mean, they've been doing it forever, so.
I did that with, actually, my second-generation Xbox and whatnot. I brought it in, and they were like, nope, no more. I was like, wait, what are you talking about? This died 6 months into the warranty. What the hell's wrong with you?
I have like two more years on
We cannot do nothing. I'm sorry.
Really? See, I brought in my big fat white 360 when my year was up, and I got a black, you know, one of the black slim ones for free. Because they don't sell the white ones anymore. They just handed me a black one and said, there you go.
It's awesome.
Yeah. That's it. We're moving out of Mass.
We're going, all right, San Francisco?
Yeah, San Francisco. But no, I mean, like, right over there is my Xbox. Like, it's right there, the one that's dead. I'm going to have to send it in and get pay $100 to fix that one. It's the Elite. And then I have the new one in my other room in my bomb shelter. So it's like, what the hell?
Bomb shelter.
Yes, yeah,
bomb shelter.
And by the way, the name is as it sounds. You get no phone reception whatsoever in there.
Oh, the cave.
Yep. Man cave.
Man cave.
But yeah, we haven't heard your year's favorite.
Yeah, what's your year, sir?
Me?
Yeah.
Did you agree with the portal?
Yeah, I said portal too.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know if you had any others.
Right. Well, I also agree with the Bulletstorm as well, because, first of all, I like Steve Bloom. I'm a big fan of his voice acting. It's fucking Spike Spiegel at Cowboy Bebop, first off.
It's a whole lot better than hearing Ice Cube during your game.
Yeah.
Unless you're listening to NWA you're playing, I don't want to hear Ice Cube.
Yo, Craig! But, just the weapons that they had in Bulletstorm were just flat out brilliant. Just the leash is grabbing them and just hearing the mutants going, "Rah!"
I know. I loved it. I had so much fun killing things in that game.
Me too. But why don't we move on to download titles, games that you found on iPhone, Xbox Live, and PSN. And for my pick, this was something that one of the guys from Gamer Reaction, who sadly weren't able to join us, told me about at the best of 2010, but hadn't officially come out yet. It's called Ilo Milo.
And, I thought it was called Ilo Milo.
I've heard Ilo Milo and Ilo Milo.
I know what you're talking about.
First of all, one imaginative concept. It's you take control of two different characters from two different sides of the maze, and you got to bring them together. And just the characters, and just the way the puzzles were set up, it was so adorable. But then you get into the gist of the story of Ilona and Milton, who are probably the real variations of Ilo and Milo, and just how sad of a story is. Like, you start crying. It's like, oh, at least they're together now. And then...
I know.
And then just saying, King Baby Duck's heart grew 3 sizes that day. But it was one of those games where the way it was done, I had no frustrations. Even while I was like trying to figure out how to get those two together, it felt like it was one of those titles that was made to relax people and just put a smile on people's faces, especially all the other side characters. Like, I forget what the official name of him was, but it was like the box ox. The way he was moving, he'd be like, yort. Like, that is so adorable! But it's one of those games where I wouldn't say a full-length feature film, maybe a short film. It feels like it could easily be like a stop-motion animated motion picture of sorts.
Or a web feature.
You think it could be a full-length feature?
Yeah. Oh, no, like a web feature, like a web series?
Oh, yeah, a web feature. I feel like this is a type of game that would touch many people's hearts of different ages. And I still go back to that game and play it like crazy because I just liked how the story was told. I just liked the visuals, and just flat out, it was probably one of those titles that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, who wants to go next?
Blue.
You want to go next? Or Blue?
Go for Blue, because Blue's always going last.
Yeah.
What? No, I'm good at last.
He's good at rounding it about.
Yeah. I'm the well-rounded individual.
Yes.
Okay, I'll go.
All right.
I'm not even sure exactly. I just know that I downloaded this and played this year. So if it came out at the end of last year, sorry. It was the Back to the Future adventure games that I had downloaded.
Freaking jerk.
I loved those damn games. They were so much fun. I put off playing them for a while because I wasn't sure what to expect from them. And I'm a big fan of the old Sierra adventure games from
back
today. The King's Quest, Space Quest, Police Quest,
Leisure Suit Larry.
I'm going to talk about Leisure Suit Larry later as well. But because I have to bring that up as much as possible. I'm a big fan of those type of games. And I think a lot of love has been lost in adventure games like that. Simple point-and-click adventures. I mean, in Flash games, there are some interesting Flash games. But these Back to the Future games basically took everything I loved about those old games, mixed it with my love for Back to the Future, and it was just like a big joygasm of gameplay. I don't want to talk too much about it because I think everyone should play it themselves, especially if they're Back to the Future fans, but needless to say, it is worth every cent I paid for it, and I had so much fun playing it, and I recommend it highly to anybody who loves Back to the Future or adventure point-and-click games.
Can I steal that word, joygasm, from you?
Please, yes. Definitely. Just give me credit.
Nice. Totally.
And I do have to agree with you because the folks at Telltale Games have been on a roll. I mean, ever since they brought back Sam and Max,
they have
just been putting out great game after great game. That Wallace and Gromit games.
But I don't think that feel of game style, although I do love it because that's what I grew up on, works well for their upcoming Jurassic Park or Walking Dead games. Those are games that you need to have fear, you need to have really scary atmosphere and uncomfortableness, not
point-and-click. I couldn't agree with you more. I think point-and-click in Jurassic Park has already been tried before. I believe one of the Sega CD games, if I remember correctly, when I had a Sega CD, was a point-and-click Jurassic Park adventure, and it was the worst point-and-click game ever. I want to be scared by lots of dinosaurs surrounding me, chasing me. I want to look in the rearview mirror and see the Tyrannosaurus Rex coming after me and be very scary. I kind of agree with you on that one. They might be getting all Cars 2 on us, like with
What do you mean by that?
Meaning that DreamWorks thinks everything they put out is good, and Cars 2 came out, and I thought it sucked. It was the first DreamWorks picture I ever saw that I'd be like,
Pixar.
That Toy Story 2, which is the only Toy Story I don't love, were the only
Pixar.
Two movies. Pixar, I'm sorry, thank you.
But I agree. Totally. Pixar is usually DreamWorks? Amazing. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But Cars 2 and Toy Story, mm-mm.
Well, I kind of agree with you with the Cars 2, but I feel like John Lasseter just wanted to make a movie that was fun without any hidden meaning to it.
I hear you, but I come to expect that hidden meaning from Pixar, that deeper sort of a deeper message to it all, not just all for fun Jay and Silent Bob take on the world style.
Hey, how dare you?
Yeah, agreed.
All right, Rachel, what about you for favorite downloadable title so far of 2011?
Man, I'm probably going to have to go with Stacking because I loved it so much that I went through and made sure I got 100% achievements. But I am really loving Bastion right now. But since I have not completed it, I can't have that as my favorite because I'm still at the beginning and I don't know if the gameplay style will become, you know, boring or repetitive maybe an hour or two into it, so I'm going to have to stick with Stacking, because that never got old to me.
Yeah, and I like the style of music they used, too, the very black-and-white, silent movie type of feel that they gave to that title.
It had tons of personality, and I feel like a lot of developers now don't know how to give a game personality without shoving it down your throat. They don't know how to give something subtle personality. Yeah. Yes. And I thought Stacking did that beautifully.
I agree with you on that course. Sorry, my mind just went blank with the right word to use.
It's okay. Right. It's a very distracting visual.
Perfectly fine.
Yes, sir.
All right, Bluonic, what about you?
I think it's because of the problem. I already mentioned it, basically, because Trench is probably one of the best ones that I've downloaded. It's one of the games that I, like I said, whenever I get bored with one game, I have to go back to another one. And that's the one that's usually right there on the list. I mean, I know I just downloaded, like, Deadliest Warrior, the new one, and oh man, I wish I could get my money back. But of course.
Wow.
Shaka Zulu versus the Leprechaun.
Awesome.
I'd have to say that's probably one of the worst things because it's too easy. Like, I was William Wallace and I laid waste to everybody in like 2 seconds. I was just like, Claymore, Claymore.
Arrow.
Lightning bolt. Lightning bolt. Lightning bolt.
Jew killer. Jew killer. Jew killer. What? What? William Wireless. Mel Gibson.
Oh. She said William Wireless.
I know. I'm kidding.
No, but I have to say, Trench, because you were able to do so much with your mech. I mean, you had anywhere from sniper weapons to, oh my freaking head, that's a massive cannon on the side of your, like, you know, mech warrior, even though if that was real, the mech would just fall over and catch on fire and explode. It was so great because you could do so much with the mech. Like, you could do paint jobs, you could, you know, change the outfits on your actual guy. But the other beautiful thing that I didn't get to mention earlier was you're able to actually play online with all the other people. I would suggest not to take on the maps alone. You have to just join with people. And yes, we're in mic because of the fact that this is an Xbox Live Arcade exclusive. We're in mic because people are such douchebags about stuff like that. They just, if you don't have a mic, we don't want to play with you. It's like trying to play Call of Duty.
I want to talk to you, and I want to make you feel bad.
Yeah, exactly. I want to make you suffer because of the fact that I could scream in the thing and make your ears.
I want to yell out Leroy Jenkins.
It's like playing WoW without Ventrilo. You're not allowed to.
Thank you, 12-year-old boy from German, for making me feel like shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, but with playing Trench and whatnot, the basis of the game, and especially, it's kind of like World War One to World War Two. Design, but all like an alternative reality where it turned into a sci-fi base, you know, setup. And I feel that it's a great game altogether. You could just, you know, it just plays basically itself. You know, you could just sit there, have a great time, play with some people that are actually able to thing, and just beat all the maps right through. Two thumbs up on the Trench game. That's what I have to say.
Awesome. And that is also from Tim Schafer as well.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Know your stuff. My thing is quick, but it's on downloadable games. I have to admit that I'm not ashamed to play Dead Rising, Code Zero, the prequel to the second one. And I play that. Yes, I know a lot of people are not very happy with me right now, but it's addicting.
Don't make me come over the king and tackle you.
It's very addicting because I love killing zombies in multiples. It's almost like Dynasty Warriors, but with zombies. And you can just do it over and over again and over and over again, never get sick of it. But I would have to agree with Rachel. I did enjoy stacking a whole lot, and stacking and Dead Rising. K-Zero were the only two downloadable games so far that I've actually paid for, and I've actually used my my Microsoft points to purchase. Other than that, it's just movies.
But can you agree with me, in that game,
yes,
it is very annoying that you're like ready to like finish off that mission, and somehow you get killed, and you forgot to go to the restroom to save.
Yes.
That is so annoying.
There's so much about that game that is so like outdated. It feels like it should have come out 4 years ago.
Speaking of outdated...
Oh, is this a segue to the next part of our thing?
You know it.
You're so smart.
Duke Nukem.
It's your segue.
A Hero's Return or Zero's Desperate Plea for Attention? After over 12 years, Duke Nukem Forever was released, being welcomed with bad reviews and the criticism of gamers everywhere. Was it just that bad, or was it really a misunderstood nod to old-school first-person shooters? I think this guy's trying to run out the room.
He's drinking heavily right now.
Damn you for making me play this!
Damn you for letting... He wanted to just talk about it as soon as he got on. He's like, oh, well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Just let the bad man out.
Well, what's Blue on it got here? Oh, yep. He's got the Balls of Steel edition.
He's got the special stars.
Do we have to bet on Duke on this one?
No.
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 I mean, for the most part, I did my review and whatnot on it. And I actually, see, I wasn't like, here, it's absolute shite. No, it just sucks. No, I have to say that this could have been a hell of a lot better. I feel that they should have already released this game
10 years ago.
Yeah, back in 2002, probably. That would be probably reasonable within the time.
Duke's got a mortgage.
Yeah,
gotta buy the game.
And then I think because of the fact that they waited so long, it it just wasn't the game that they really wanted it to be. They should have just dropped this in, or otherwise, you know how they did the actual downloadable game for Duke Nukem 3D, even though when you played it, you wanted to puke your brains out because of the graphics were so bad.
But you got to make your own levels!
Yeah, exactly.
I love that! I still have the book!
But when, like, everything was, like, moving around, you would want to puke your brains out because of how bad the graphics were.
That's why I wear glasses. I'm blind.
Even with the glasses, I wanted to puke. But, the whole factor of the game, that, you know, Duke, yes, he is the badass of all badasses, but yet he went from side-scroller to 3D, you know, he's been the one that's been going through the evolutionary phase of gaming.
Now, did everyone here ever play the original side-scroller of Duke Nukem?
I've played all of them.
Me too.
Same here. I got that special pack back in the day, like, you were able to play, like, from the original to, you know...
I had it, but I felt no need to play it.
I played the original Duke Nukem on my IBM PS1 computer bought in 1991.
They just shut down my ride. Alien scum.
I just played it over and over again for 2 years straight.
I love the fact that you could, like, download those little MIDI files and make your own music for your own levels, but for some reason, all I could find was Everybody Dance Now by CNC Music Factory, so every one of my levels had Everybody Dance Now, do, just in MIDI. And I'm like, this is awesome!
Alright, Rachel, what were your thoughts on Duke Nukem Forever?
I loved it. I thought it was a great throwback to what Duke Nukem used to be. I just think most of the people that gave it such bad reviews actually didn't play the originals, and they did not know what they were getting into. They thought it was going to be an over-steroided version of, like, Marcus Fenix, but that's not what Duke Nukem is. Duke Nukem is ridiculous. He is corny. He is cheesy, and... That's what Forever is to me, and I think that they did a great job of bringing Duke back.
Right, and there was another game that reminded me a little bit of the style of Duke Nukem. Matt Hazard.
Yeah, Matt Hazard.
It tried. But... I just don't think that the Duke Nukem style and humor of Duke Nukem games really fits in with this generation. This generation, that's very 80s, 90s. This generation's not really into that kind of stuff. But for the people that grew up on it, I think they got it.
Right, and I'm one of those people. I found the game to be enjoyable. I found myself laughing at a bunch of the quips that Duke Nukem was saying. It was a very solid nod to the classic games of yesteryear, and bosses were great, and yes, the boobs are always nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, take my blood pressure medicine.
Yeah, but
I loved the little jabs it would take it at today's games, like Halo, Borderlands, and I think Gears was all in there. That was hilarious.
Helmets are for pussies.
Yeah, that had me dying laughing because I'm not a big Halo fan. And when I found the Master Chief helmet, he said that, I thought I was going to cry laughing.
but do you feel that they lied to us because of the concept they said in the actual title of the trailer, save the babes? You can't save a babe to save your life because of the fact that...
They all die!
You're killing girls giving birth to aliens, you gotta kill them all.
Yeah, especially the octo...
They die grossly, mind you.
It's not tasteful. It's not tasteful. It's Duke Nukem.
I don't really pay attention to any kind of concept or anything like that, because if I did, I'd feel lied to a lot more. I thought expected. Epic Mickey was going to be dark and steampunked, and it turned out to be quite cheesy, and yeah.
And I felt like in the game, you should have been able to hold more than two guns. I'm sorry, but Duke Nukem 3D and all the other games, you held every gun you found. The dude bench press is what? What was it?
It was 600 pounds.
600 pounds. He could hold all those guns, no problem, do a cartwheel in the air, reciting, I'm a very model of a modern major general, all at the same time without breaking a sweat.
And in this voice.
Who can't love a game within the first 5 minutes you get to pick up poo and draw a dick on a whiteboard? Sold.
The only problem I had with the game was the wait for it to come out. And... I mean, I might have said I hated you, but I was reading my notes a little bit wrong. I just consider it almost like Chinese Democracy.
You got it. That's what I was
saying. And Chinese Democracy was a really good album that came out. And I'd been waiting for this game a long time, and it got pushed back a while. I think I might have I enjoyed the game. I had a lot of fun playing it. I laughed a lot, especially in the very beginning of the game when you're walking down that hallway and you're looking at all the posters of yourself, stuff like that. I love all the humor. I enjoyed it and laughed and had a good time playing it. I just found the controls a bit clunky, and it felt...
Yep, I agree with that.
That's just it. It seemed like a game that took that long could have been tightened up in a few places, but it was still a great, fun experience of a video game. It's just nothing groundbreaking or nothing. It's just another good Duke Nukem game. I hope they come up with another one, and it doesn't take...
Blonick is going to punch me in the face for this comment, but it's like the... he's cracking his knuckles.
Come on.
It's just like the new Limp Bizkit album. You weren't expecting anything epic about it.
Shotgun!
But it was a fun album to listen to. And I had the same feeling with Duke Nukem Forever.
If you're expecting the Limp Bizkit from back in the day, you don't expect them to be awesome or doing dubstep or anything new. It's just, I think Rachel put it perfectly. She enjoyed it because she knew what she was expecting. She didn't expect some new, steroided out 3D version with like Modern Warfare style shooting. It's just Duke.
I put off playing it for a while, as I said, and that's why I said I hated you for making me play it, because I put off playing it for it because I read the reviews, and I make mistakes of that sometimes where I read reviews of games that I'm excited for before I play them, and then I played it, and it was just a fun game. Mm-hmm. And it was a good thing that I played it not when it first came out, because my hype was built down for it, so I wasn't expecting a lot out of it, or I wasn't expecting it to be as groundbreaking or seem as cutting edge as it was back in the day. No, it seemed what it was, and it did what it wanted to do well, which was deliver an entertaining gaming experience. I enjoyed playing all the way through it.
Remind me to chokeslam you, King. Anyway, next to that, they have the whole setup. When I was going through the game, I did end up into parts where I got stuck, and I had to, you know, kind of wait and reload and whatnot, and it really did get to, you know, annoy the living hell out of me because of I died a couple times where it shouldn't have been death. It kind of annoyed me in that sense. And getting stuck when I was at the part, if you guys all remember, where you're at the hydro power plant and you're like on the moving bridge, all of a sudden those guys that come up and they're flying at you, one or two of them actually flew over the thing and got stuck on the other side of the level. And I had to reset. And it just... It got to me so badly because I was like, I just want to keep going, but the reload time is ridiculous. Next to that, I have heard that a lot of friends that I, you know, when I talked with them about it, they said that sometimes... And this was actually... I think it was only PS3 it was happening with. But they actually got stuck in the load time a lot. And I mean, I had to see if they could actually go through it, and then they still got stuck somehow. So, with us talking about earlier how things have, when they come out right in the package, you know, and they're actually still janky and whatnot, and, you know, nobody really did a thorough job of finding all the little issues and having us find it in the end, and then they patch it later, it's not my favorite, you know, thing to have them do, but I still respect the Duke Nukem, you know, Forever game. I just feel that it could have been maybe so much more. They could have probably released this as one of the downloadable games on, like, you know, an Xbox Live Arcade, PSN, or whatever, you know, and that, like, on Steam or whatnot for PC. But, and they could have done it, like, a couple years back and totally made a better game after learning what they did wrong with this one, but not call it Duke Nukem Forever. Call it something along the other lines, like Duke Nukem 3D 2 or something. But for the most part, I feel that after watching all the game trailers from back in the day of when they were designing it, when you get to actually check it out on the game itself, you're like, where did all that? I don't remember that happening in the actual game where you're on the back of a trailer and stuff's moving around you and flying around. And you got to shoot. No, that didn't happen in the game that I just played. You know, beating the Duke Nukem game, you're like, what the hell just happened? Where's all the rest of the content? And somebody in the room, I'm not going to say who, promised me 25 hours of gameplay. That was a lie. I was able to beat that game within the 10 hours span. I mean, even between work, It probably took maybe shorter than that, but I'm just saying that I'm you know, craving the games that are at least more than 10 hours because I hate beating games in 5 hours. It's like, great, I waited all this time for a $60 game, and I just beat it in like 5 hours of the actual gameplay, but when you really take it all together, 3 hours of the gameplay is the game actual content, not just the videos. And you're like, God damn it, why did I spend that
again? You just got Caden Lynch 2.
Yeah. Oh, man.
To me, it depends on the game. There are some games that are just better shorter that I wouldn't want to play for 20-plus hours. But then there are some games, like the first Dragon Age, that I put probably more than 60 hours into it, and I could have easily put in another. It was just so good. But yeah, some games, I don't want to play that long.
Now, they're Rachel, just better did shorter. Did you get to play, like, the first original Half-Life?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Like, that game takes originally, like, 3 days to beat, all together. Just basically, maybe a couple bathroom breaks, some food, and then back to the game. Now, why couldn't they have done that with the whole Half-Life, too? Because of the fact that they did have that much time to really work on the game, but yet they went and did Half-Life Episode 1, 2, and maybe, I don't even know if they're coming out with a third one, and maybe created Team Fortress, the Team Fortress 2 game. But did you feel that they could have done maybe a little bit more with the new Half-Life game?
I mean, we're telling them we'll give them our money, but they won't do anything with it.
Yeah, that's true.
Just can't trust some of these developers.
Damn them.
But yeah, no, I thought Duke Nukem was okay. I mean, I was a little put off by some of the controls, and it really was somewhat clunky. I agree with you, Blue. There were these certain points in times where I felt like I was playing one of those, or I was like, I have to do this again. I have to do this again. It just, the controller wouldn't obey. But for the most part, it was a really fun game.
But I hated that whole part where you're trying to jump from the, and when you get shrunk, and you're trying to jump from the roulette table to the chair, and then to the next roulette table. Yeah. How many times did you guys fall?
Well, I must have fallen 100 times. That was where I spent most of my gameplay. I spent like 2 hours there, seriously. I'm bad. I'm bad at jumps in games like that.
Mm-hmm. I had my cousin hanging over with me and whatnot. He's going to be one of our new writers. His name's Tank. And he was just constantly making fun of me, like, doing that. And then I tossed the controller at him. He's just like, oh, I see your point. Damn. But, yeah, it was one of those things that, yeah, it kind of got annoying with the actual controls. And actually, one time I got stuck with the king here was playing on mine. And he got stuck when he tried to jump the little RC car.
Yep, I got stuck.
And we were like, holy crap.
It was like in midair. It was like, wait, what the hell? Time is frozen around Duke Nukem. What the fuck is going on?
That and the aliens were kept on shooting us.
Yep.
Don't worry, I'll be dead soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, for a final verdict on Duke Nukem, was it bad? Misunderstood. Rachel?
Misunderstood.
Ishes guy?
Overhyped and misunderstood.
Sarge?
Misunderstood.
Bluonic?
I agreed. I more or less, it was misunderstood. It wasn't bad, it was just misunderstood.
And I agree as well. Look at that, 5 for 5.
Yeah, whoa.
For bad or misunderstood.
Can we argue about L.A. Noire now?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm so ready.
Okay.
Can someone be against me on this one?
In development for 6 years, Rockstar's latest title, L.A. Noire, has been lauded as the line that separates gaming from cinema. However, with last year's Heavy Rain basically doing the same thing, did L.A. Noire deserve the attention it was getting, or was there something else to the title that made it stand out from anything else that's been released thus far? Ishish Guy, I know you've been wanting to talk about this the most, so why don't you go first?
Well, did it change the face of gaming? No, it didn't change anything. It just retreaded the same thing and actually took steps backwards, I think, in what Rockstar puts out as a game. I think, okay, I enjoyed playing it. I enjoyed detective games. I enjoyed point-and-click adventures. As I said many a times, I love BioWare games. I get so into the storylines of Dragon's Age 1, Knights of the Old Republic, the Mass Effect games. I get so into those characters and the stories. I don't think that it's game-breaking at all. And I think all the press that it got was seriously kind of bothered me. It was hard for any game to be groundbreaking in the way that 16-bit games jumped to the 64 era. I mean, I think that is something that's groundbreaking. Watching a game like Super Mario Bros. 3 to Super Mario Bros. 64, or Zelda to Ocarina of Time, the original. I think as a game changer or anything like that. No, it was just a decent, again, I don't want to repeat myself as I was saying about the other games, but it's just suffering from bad press. If someone tells me a movie's the greatest thing in the world or a game's the greatest thing in the universe and all these reports that people putting it as their best game of the year, I played it and I was a little bored and I wanted more freedom. I wanted more random cases. I wanted all the cases to have some sort of overall meaning with something. I wanted to get through at the end and go, yes, I understand it. I don't know if it was a failing in the writing or they got bad television actors to try to act out a deeper movie script.
But you do have to admit the way that they made the game with the facial recognition type
okay, that,
of stuff.
And I did say that. I forgot to even mention the good things ahead of time. I thought they did a good job of storytelling in some of the cases individually, and the face thing for the most part was cool. But as much as for character development, I don't think it... I'm interested to see where it goes with this and that more games use this. But even that was a little awkward at times. It freaked me out. It freaked me out. It was a little wiggy at times. And occasionally you'd bump into a face that wasn't like that. And it just threw me off. Some people looked zombie-ish to me. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. It's hard to explain because I do think they did a great job. And I knew what the actors were. And I understand some of the physicalities of it. But to me, it wasn't as big of a jump as you get in from what BioWare does or from what some other companies do for deeper gameplay. And you mentioned Heavy Rain, which I thought was just a better gaming experience.
You control altogether. Basically everything so much about that title.
It just had cooler ideas, cooler just ways.
It's just a better game. And I just think L.A. Noir, I'd be interested to see other companies going in similar directions that what Rockstar did. But I don't think it's necessarily Rockstar's cup of tea to have a cohesive, tied-up story. Their bread and butter is wanton destruction and different errors.
Run around and shoot people, get the cops cheap.
Give us a Bully 2!
Bully 2! I was just about to say that. Bully is the only experience of a game that I had that I enjoyed gameplay from beginning to end of there. There and their Warriors game was good as well, but Bully was the most amazing gaming experience of my life. I really loved that game. And a lot of people, you're one of the only other people I've ever heard that will come right out and support that game. And it was funny, that game got so much negative press, unlike L.A. Noir that got so much positive press. And then once the game came out, you realized it was about defeating and beating up a gang full of bullies and all the different characters. It almost reminded me of, had a River City Ransom feel to it as well. Bully is a great game, and I was going to pick up the newer edition, the Xbox version, but I read that it was buggy and it crashed and it froze a couple times.
I never had a problem.
Okay, good.
I've already played it through twice.
Awesome. I need to replay that game because it's been a while since I played. And I know Rockstar is thinking about doing some sort of big special title for Wii U, and there isn't a better title I'd like to see them go back to and to do a special Nintendo-only Bully 2 for Wii U. Maybe not even Nintendo-only. Release it on all systems. I just want a Bully 2 as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But basically, to answer the question, did it really change the face of gaming? No, it did not change the face of gaming. Was it an okay game? Maybe if they didn't tell me that it was going to change the face of gaming, I'd have a better perspective on it. Because it did, I'm going to judge it with a harsh sword, and I say no! Sorry, no.
Ooh, me.
Okay, Rachel.
Okay, I honestly think anybody who says it changed the face of gaming really needs to play more games. I felt L.A. Noir, first of all, I really didn't think the story was that good. I think that it was a step back in gameplay, because all the gameplay was getting you from one cutscene to another. I don't want to watch my games. I want to play them. And it felt like the only times I ever was allowed to play was just to get me to another cutscene. The whole story was told only through cutscenes. Each case was the same formula. Get to the crime scene, investigate crime scene, go interrogate. Good job.
Make the women cry.
Over and over and over again. And it got, after 5 cases, you've played the game. You don't need to play anymore because nothing changes. I think it was actually a huge step back. And yes, the facial animation was pretty and cool, but the fact that it was on top of terrible character art made it look that much cheaper.
Right.
Because I thought the atmosphere, the environment art was really bad. I mean, all they did was pull stuff from GTA. And the characters themselves were really blocky and moved awkwardly.
They had that weird body thing.
Yes. L.A. Noir is the one game this year so far that I wish I hadn't paid for, that I want my money back on. I feel totally ripped off.
Especially coming off Red Dead and how alive that world was that they created, that I think Red Dead was one of...
Live orchestra.
Just such a great world, and the characters, the way they move. I agree. It looked like you stuck a picture. It looked like in South Park when they had Mel Gibson's face on the little stick figure, and you know, they paste the picture and it was like...
I used to be the biggest Rockstar fan back in the Bully days and GTA Vice City days and even Manhunt.
But the original Manhunt.
They've destroyed Manhunt with Manhunt 2. They also completely destroyed the GTA franchise with GTA 4.
Yep.
And I liked Red Dead Redemption, but I've got to say that Red Dead Redemption was just GTA in Western for me.
Yep.
And I prefer
cooler voice actors.
The voice actors are cool, but GTA is known for, I mean, Rockstar's good for, known for that, but I prefer Red Dead Revolver because that was different than Rockstar.
And you know
what? It showed that Rockstar can do other things other than, look, open world games.
And first off, about Red Dead Redemption, I usually got bored with Red Dead Redemption, especially having to ride into town back and forth through horses where there was nothing really in between.
It's all fetch quests. I don't want to play a game of fetch quests.
I think Rockstar's ego's gotten to them and they think they can just retread the same thing.
And that was another issue I had with L.A. Noir. It's a sandbox game, but all they give you is one shovel and one pail. And they said, okay, just sit in that corner of the sandbox and just do that.
I was very disappointed.
It was very bare bones. And you know what? I'm going to throw another game into this. What?
I got another one to throw under the bus. Go right ahead.
All right, I got another game to throw into here that I felt did a lot better storytelling-wise, even though it had little gameplay and a lot of full-motion video stuff. Yakuza 4. I don't know if any of you have ever played Yakuza 4, but I just loved the characters and the storylines that were going on in there. I felt like you could care about these people so much in those... And all those people, the collector or the not the collector. What's the opposite of the debt collector? The guy who the loan shark. The loan shark. I loved his storyline. And the guy who's been in prison for 25 years and seeing him cry about how every night he has to live through that moment of killing all those people in that bar. It was just so emotionally heart-wrenching to see him go through all that pain. Whereas when I watch L.A. Noir, it feels kind of sticky.
Well, see, to me, if we're going to be talking about like story and characters, one of the best stories I've played is going to be Bioshock 1. That story and those characters and that twist was amazing. But when I get to characters that I feel something for, no game has ever emotionally attached me to other characters in the game than Dragon Age 1. I mean, the things you felt for those characters and the interactions you had with them and the way they interacted to you and the way that they, depending on your relationship, they would talk to you differently and react to
things. And some of the physical relationship you could get into, too.
Me and Alistair, we are like this.
Dragon's Age 1 is close for me, but for me, it's another BioWare game. It's Knights of the Old Republic. The relationships I developed in that game and then the decision at the end that you have to make between half your team and choosing to kill some of them is just... It almost had me in tears at the time.
Yes.
I was like, I want to kill Karth.
I know, but that's totally how... I mean, I played Dragon Age 1 more than once. Just to marry Alistair over and over again. And I did. I romanced all the characters. I loved each and every one of them, except for Sten. He was kind of an ass. But no game has affected me like that. Okay, maybe Pikmin, because I do cry when my Pikmins die.
Pikmin, when they die.
The
little
cry.
Ghost Pikmin flying.
I know. It's so sad.
new Pikmin coming for Wii U.
Oh, I know. Yes. I'm so excited to hear that. And Luigi's Mansion 2.
Oh, yeah.
Dance, dance, dance. So happy.
That Luigi dance.
I love it.
Well, I guess apparently, I mean, I haven't been able to actually touch the L.A. Noire game. Nobody would lend it to me.
Well, I have it on PS3, that's why.
Oh, damn, that's why. Anyways, for the most part, from what I'm understanding of the basis that you guys are explaining to me is the fact that it's basically like Metal Gear Solid 4. That it had, like, it said that it had, like, 10 or 15 hours of play and whatnot, but yet it was all filler because of the fact that you had like really like 2 hours of play and it was just video. It was mainly it's the like fact that you couldn't even go and actually do crime fighting and whatnot, or actually run around and go, hey, look, this is an actual object. Because I remember watching one of the trailers, and the guy goes and grabs like the piece off the ground. He's like, great, you found the valve or something like that, and blah, 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 and this is what this did and what that did. And it was actually a cutscene. It wasn't an actual, like, interaction, like a CSI game that they... I know CSI isn't always the best game out there.
CSI. It was a better investigation game than L.A. Noire was, though.
Exactly. So exactly what I'm saying is the fact that you're able to go around the room and go, hey, look, I found what might I think might have been the object that killed the person, but yet you're not exactly sure, so you have to go back and analyze it a lot more. But back in those days, they didn't have the capabilities of computers, or their computers were things that took up many houses or whatnot of like space. But
what's this stuff all over the wall?
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't waste your time on investigating the same beer bottle in every single case.
Yeah. It's a Coke can. This is garbage. Oh, look, it's a Pepsi bottle. This is garbage. Oh, look, it's Perry Como's next album. This is also garbage.
I mean, Rachel touched upon what the biggest problem with the game is. It's the repetition. It's that every case by the end feels like the same damn thing. If they had found some way to mix up the gameplay, I wouldn't have cared about the lame story or the weird-looking bodies on the... I might have enjoyed the gameplay more, but it's every case by the end. You're just like, let this thing effing end. Well, oh, yep, I know I'm going to investigate the guy. Guy's lying. I'm going to use the Jedi mind trick on these are not the droids you're looking for. Yeah, right,
now I'm going to try to drive around the city. Oh, my
God. I'm
going to
find the guy. I'm going to chase him up. I'm going to crash into it. Honestly, I didn't even drive. Like I just had my partner drive.
I might be same online here on this question, but did any was there actually a Black Dahlia case in this? Because of the fact that I was trying to, I'm very interested in that case, but I'm wondering, are you capable of actually solving it, or is it one of those ones that is like the frustrating riddle that will never, you know, you'll never get
it? To be continued.
Yeah, exactly.
Cue organ music.
Thank you for playing.
Well, you might know more, Rachel. What was there really a killer found in this game?
Well, there's tons of different killers because you're solving different crimes.
Well, no, for Black Dahlia, for the Black Dahlia inspired one.
I don't know if I didn't beat it because I got bored to tears with it.
Wow.
I remember because it was the same thing over and over again, just different victim.
It's just over and over and over.
It was way too. Yeah, I just got bored.
That's the problem. There is no overall theme or deeper story to the game. That's why I think if they really wanted to make a game like this, it's about the rock star having their egos up their butt, where they're not deep writers. They are good at writing crass humor and silliness, not to have it be this dark, deep story. Hire, I don't know, maybe it's the theater geek in me, too. I started criticizing all the acting and the overacting and the... I'm like, that's bad. No.
But that's the main thing that I'm saying is the fact that, like, Grand Theft Auto 4 and the whole, you know, saying that, like, you know, the graphics are awesome and whatnot. Okay, yeah, but I did feel that the back, like, even, like, the most of the city, I think they're having issues with the city aspect of doing, like, the whole, you know, game. Because there's so much going on whenever there's a city thing. And I don't think the systems, whether you're playing on Xbox to PS3 to PC, that it's really able to put that out there and whatnot to actually give you the full experience that they're doing with their high-end computers sitting right there. But next to that, I feel that with Rockstar, they have failed in so many ways of doing that. But I mean, for the most part, I think the only good thing about most of their games now is, and I agree with this because I talk to my boss on a constant basis, he's just like, I was like, so, have you played any Grand Theft Auto lately? He's like, yeah. You know what I love to do? I love to go out, you know, on the 70s one, and grab a golf club, go down to the beach, kill hookers, kill grandma, kill everybody that's on roller skates and whatnot, just because I can. I don't play the game for anything else but going out and killing hookers with a golf club. I mean,
are they really failures? Are they really failures? Because they make lots and lots of money. That's almost like looking at like Green Lantern or Transformers and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but it's like, I mean, they made their money.
It might be seen as a failure, like of like looking at the game and going, you could have done so much better. I think you could have stepped up for the money that we're paying. What the hell? And especially the economy going downhill. What the hell?
Right.
That's exactly how I
Which is why when we're talking about the games we're looking forward to the second half, that's why I'm excited about the one I'm going to discuss.
And that just to bring up Bully one more time, that's why I think Bully's such a success, because it was the only one of the only Grand Theft Auto games, one of the only Rockstar games that I really kind of did care about the story and care about where it was going to end up. The rest of them, you're right. Most of the people that play those games enter God mode and get a tank and destroy half the city. I mean, that's why I play those games. I don't really care about, you know, Pavel Chekhov's mission to become whatever, but I did care about him, you know, revenge on all the bullies that mess with me.
Right. Totally agree.
Okay, so looks like overrated is the verdict for L.A. Noire, correct?
I guess
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's move on.
A step back in gaming for Rockstar. Really, I couldn't agree. I said it, and I agree with you as well. It was a step back. It felt like I don't mind a good game that forces me to go on a linear story. I enjoyed the Ghostbusters game last year that took me on a specific storyline, walking from here to there in every single mission. This game, it just felt like a dumbed down. It just felt like I was going backwards with what's out there today in decision making and affecting the story as a choose your own adventure type thing. Crap.
Yeah. So, shall we move on to the final topic of this special podcast show?
Absolutely. I bet you guys are getting sick of me by now.
No, we're not.
No.
Some straightforward but maybe complex question. Which game are you looking forward to the most for the second half of 2011?
Damn you.
Rachel, why don't you go first on this one?
I, again, went with two for different reasons. The first one I went with just for the absolute ridiculous fun factor I know I'm going to have with it is Saints Row the Third. Didn't like Saints Row 1. Love Saints Row 2. Saints Row 3 is going to be pretty crazy amazing. Again, you give me a game like Saints Row 2 where one of my missions is to hijack a septic trunk and spray innocent civilians with poo, sign me up, I'm there. So the fact that in Saints Row 3, one of your weapons is a big, giant, purple wiggly
dildo bat.
I'm in. I'm going to play this game on that alone.
And I got to go with the Manipult Mobile as well, Professor Genki's invention. Suck up the civilians and shoot them out of a fucking cannon.
Yep, I like the splat they make on walls when you shoot them against walls.
Yes.
But my second dildos. One, I'm going to go with more from a traditional side where it's story meets graphics meets gameplay meets characters. And, of course, I'm going with Uncharted 3 because I have the biggest crush on Nathan Drake.
Mm.
But not only because I love Nathan Drake, but those games are... have proven to be like the whole package.
They've been epic.
Yeah, the first
two
have been.
About Mark Wahlberg playing.
He's not doing it anymore.
Oh, he isn't.
No. Uh-uh. Once
they wiped
left.
The whole director and the whole cast, so now it's up in the air.
Yep. Now, what were your thoughts on the multiplayer beta of Uncharted 3?
I liked it. You know, I'm not a big multiplayer player because I had been playing multiplayer way back in the day on PC, and they're really big. It's the same thing. It's capture the flag, you know, King of the Hill, and PvP. Just rinse and repeat with different environments. So yep. I'm not the biggest multiplayer fan. I do like the co-op style stuff, like Horde mode and Beast mode from Gears. That's fun. So Uncharted beta was good, but I'm more about the story and the single player. I don't need multiplayer to make a game good. There's just some games that don't need it. Like Bioshock 2, it didn't need multiplayer. And I think a lot of times trying to jam and force multiplayer into a game that's supposed to be single player kind of waters down the experience.
Yeah, I agree with you on that in some parts. Now, I also agree with your pick for Saints Row the Third for being one of the titles that you're looking forward to the most for 2011. Just that demonstration that I saw at E3 just completely blew me away. All the different ways you can punch someone in the balls, the apocalypse. Driving around and doing the crazy wheelies and making people go yay and then thanking them for their cheers by running them over. The taking control of a jet and frying up everybody with your with your microwave powers of sorts.
It's like it's taking everything we said we like to do in GTA, which is run around mindless killing. Saints Row and THQ understand that, so they're like, fine, we'll just make a game where that's the point. Go destroy things.
Yes. It's such a great jump from a first game to a second game, because I also didn't enjoy the first game at all, but then that second game was just amazingly fun.
I just loved the commercial for that. You can go bowling, or you can roam around naked around the city!
Yay! I mean, I gotta dare say it, that I think Saints Row is better, at least two. Saints Row 2 was better than GTA 4.
And Bluonic agrees with that as well, I believe.
Yeah, I think where everything that Rockstar failed at, Saints Row 2 was definitely just achieved everything that we were looking for. I mean, from, you know, high-octane explosions, planes, everything. Even the story mode was awesome. I think the story mode was great, especially because of the fact that you're playing from off the first one. And, I mean, that was what... I didn't get to play the first one until I played the second one. I had to go back and buy the first one, and the first one wasn't as epic. And then the second one, and now having the third one pop up, go, oh, hell yeah, you know, there's definitely just, everything is just going to get even better, the graphics are going to get better, I'm just wondering how the story mode's going to go now, because they even got a more powerful gang to go after.
Well, I like the, in the demo they showed at E3, they did show one of the missions, and I really like the different characters all have very strong, different personalities.
Johnny Gat and just
I love that the guy, you're running through robbing a bank, you know, shit's going down.
People ask you for autographs.
And he stops to sign an autograph. That's hilarious.
And the fact that you're wearing a mask or a giant head of yourself.
Yeah.
Shows what type of ego you have. And then you got the Gatmobile as well.
Yeah.
What I've seen so far, Saints Row the Third has already blown me away. Now, having said that, I'm still looking for my element of surprise title. Last year when we did the Best of 2010 show, I went against the general masses that was saying either Red Dead Redemption or Heavy Rain giving them the game of the year, and I went with one that shocked some people, Snoopy Flying Ace.
You bastard.
That was my pick for Game of the Year for 2010 because it had the most epic of element of surprise. It came out of left field. It looked like it wasn't going to be all that great. And then when you went and played it, it turned out to be the best dogfighting title since Crimson Skies. It had an unbelievable online multiplayer setup that included so many different modes. Great graphics, sorry, I'm running over my words. And it had enough challenging gameplay that had tons of replay value, and it was with characters from the Peanuts world.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
It was
awesome.
That was my pick for Game of the Year for 2010, and I'm still looking for my element of surprise title that could easily either knock off Portal 2 or Saints Row the Third. I don't know if any of you ever look into the element of surprise when you rate your games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely do. And I look to play some really weird titles like that in like a game like Wario Shake It Up, I believe what it was called. It was a side-scrolling Wario game that came out, I think, in 2008 or 2009, around the same time that Super Mario Galaxy, the first one, came out. And I love Super Mario Galaxy. I had a really good time playing it. But I had just as much fun playing this little side-scroller that was all hand-drawn art, and it was just a little bit of a gem on the Nintendo Wii that most people didn't even hear about, and it was just a really fun side-scrolling game that harkened back to the old Wario games on the Game Boy, the side-scrolling games.
Right. But having said that, there's one game that is on my radar. I've talked about it a couple times on the website that might be my element of surprise title. It's Jimmy Johnson's Anything with an Engine. It looks like it's going to reinvent the whole kart racing genre. And do it right.
Take that, Mario Kart.
Exactly. Yeah. Dude, I've been surprised by what I've seen with Jimmy Johnson. Just the Matador mode, where it's a race, but there'll be one set of races on one side of the track, and then the other side, and then you got to go head-on and try not to crash into one another while the race is going on. I just think that is such a brilliant mode that I don't think a lot of titles have actually gone for. But I might be just talking too much.
No.
Definitely not. It can't quite be as good as Snoopy, though. Nothing quite beats Snoopy dogfighting. Awesome. I mean, that
it
title
is.
Like that just completely...
And what's good about the game is that it's one of those titles that Charles Schulz, if he were alive today, he would give his two thumbs up and approve. Because it is done with the whole Peanuts twist of it. No one dies in the game. They all parachute down and do that rah, 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 that you see Snoopy do in the
like
Red Baron cartoons.
Someone needs to remake the Peanuts and do like a good version of them nowadays. In the similar way that Jason Segel hopefully is going to do a good version of the Muppets.
Let me tell you something.
Have you guys heard about the Hello Kitty versus Street Fighter game coming out?
What?
Please tell me this is true.
Can I use Poochiku? Only if I can use Poochiku.
Yes.
2011. It's supposed to be Hello Kitty Street Fighter.
Oh, my God.
I know, right?
That's going to be amazing. I can't wait to kick the crap out of Poochiku with Ryu.
I just hope I get to see Hello Kitty in a street... I mean, in a Kami costume.
Wow.
At Comic-Con, there was a Hello Kitty dressed up like Slave Leia.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, it gave you a mixed feeling. You're like... This is kind of hot, but
there was also
kind
a
of
Boba
creepy.
Fett
so wrong, yeah. It's so wrong on some level.
Did you run into Boba Fett Wolverine while you were at Comic Con?
I didn't. I ran into casual Boba Fett. It was a dude in a suit with a Boba helmet.
Yes, I saw that guy. I saw his picture. But I saw a lot of Slave Leias. A group of them.
There's always way too many. Like I would love to do a Slave Leia.
Sorry, they kicked out Adrian Curry. Sorry, we've reached our Slave Leia quota.
Yeah, that
it's like dressing
really
like a naughty nurse on Halloween. It's,
what about the Jessica
just
Rabbit with the bigger than Anna Hendrickson or whatever, the girl from Mad Men, the redhead? I was like, what? I saw a picture and I'm like, save on my computer.
It was like
for research.
There was these. It was last year, but I overheard this conversation sitting at Starbucks. There are these two girls. Standing in line for Starbucks right behind me, and a guy came up and he's like, I love your costumes, I love Fat Princess, and walked away. And you know where I'm going. They weren't Fat Princess, they were supposed to be Princess Peach and Daisy. Oops.
Whoops. I love your little mushroom costume. No, I just have a big head.
Not supposed to be a muffin top.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my. You dog, you.
Wow. Okay. Sarge, what about you for the game that you're most looking forward to for the second half of 2011?
It's in a city. It's very dark.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Ugh. I've had to say since I got unbelievably addicted to Arkham Asylum, I have to wait for... I cannot wait for Arkham City with Batman. And, of course... You know, I have to be that stereotypical guy because since nobody else is here, I can't wait for Modern Warfare 3. That's good. That's going to be awesome. That, but Arkham City, more or less, because, I love going through and punching people and going through and having a better storyline instead of just going around and just shooting people and stuff like that. So it's great to have that cool, epic story. Oh, yeah, we're cool. We're clearing a room. But when you're hearing, like, the Joker and you just... Five guys come out, or are you battling the lizard, or are you gonna go against Joker again? It's like just, or whoever comes up to bat, it's like you just totally get into it and you get immersed. And the whole bat vision and climbing on the walls and doing just all this cool ass.
And they have all the amazing voice actors from the old animated series with Kevin Conroy.
Yes, yes. Mark Hamill will forever be the best Joker ever.
My brother did not know that he was actually, because we were watching Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and I'm like, he's the voice of the Joker. He goes,
no,
he isn't. No, he isn't.
And he does the cocknarker laugh. That
awesome.
Blonick is really going crazy with the title he wants to talk about.
Well, I mean, I'm just like that's the only thing is as we were talking about earlier, it's kind of like the year of the three. It just seems like everything is of the third, you know, sequel going on or whatever the hell you want to call it. I mean, hell, like I'll just go down the list here. Resistance 3 is coming out, Mass Effect 3, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 3, Saint Rose 3, Gears of War 3, and the one that Face Smashers 3, Uncharted 3. It's just one of those things where it's really getting to that point where the one that I'm really looking forward to, because I love it, in its entirety through all of the games that they put through, except maybe Vietnam, but Battlefield... Mm. As a series, has been a great game. And Battlefield 3, It looks very, very sexy with all the trailers that they've been able to put out.
Sexy.
I got the capability of the alpha to try out, but yet my computer sucks and I can't play it. But if I'm capable of getting my hands on knocking somebody out and stealing their computer, yeah, I could possibly play that. But for the most part, I really feel that Battlefield 3 is one of the big heavy contenders of the games that are coming out in the near the end of 2011.
Okay.
Anybody? No?
All right. I think Issues Guy is last on this one here. So.
Yep, this is me. Okay, well, a couple of the titles that I'm excited for were mentioned before, but I'm also... It was hard for me to come up with just one because, you know, I like to talk too much. So I came up with a couple. But and one of them was already mentioned, so I won't talk too much about it. I'm definitely very excited about Batman Arkham City. It's taking what was one of my favorite games of, what was that, 2009?
I think so.
And really expanding on it. I'm also excited for the new Elder Scrolls game. I like the new revamp that I've seen, and I'm curious to see where that goes, because I always love long, expensive...
The graphics alone for Elder Scrolls 5 is just it's just amazing looking. Just the textures.
Everything I've seen from... I mean, you guys have probably seen some stuff up live, but everything I've seen on video, really, I like where they're going with the series. I'm obviously very excited just to bring the threes here. Mass Effect 3, I'm extremely excited for. Super Mario Brothers 3DS is one, but which I'm so excited for that. The Tanuki suit is back, and I can't wait to really dig into my 3DS and play a deep new game that I haven't already played before. But I'm going to be that guy, Mr. MMO here. The game I'm most excited for, in fact, is yet, in a way, another three, is The Old Republic Online. I am such a card-carrying member of the BioWare fan club. I can't wait to get more stories in that universe and that age of Star Wars. To me, it's the best thing Star Wars has done since the original trilogy is the whole Knights of the Old Republic story. And I know BioWare didn't do the second game, but I think... I'm not sure what studio... I don't have it in front of me, name the studio that did it, but I think they did a decent job with the second game. And no franchise, we were talking about this earlier, has emotionally affected me in the way that the original Knights of the Old Republic game did, and then connecting to the story of Revan and everything like that I hope gets a lot of attention in this game. And everything, all the lip service I'm reading about it and about them integrating, whatever that word is, mixing deep story elements into an MMO game and using what BioWare does the best to mix that with what I love, playing video games and doing dungeons with my friends sometimes. I had many hours of enjoyment in Warcraft before it became an elitist wasteland of junk bags. But back in the early days of playing with friends, I enjoyed stuff like that. And we're all going to join tour together. The only problem, as Blue mentioned this earlier, I'm going to need to buy a completely new computer just to play this damn game because of that access. You know, my computer just won't do it. My computer laughs at me when I even bring out the... I'm searching online, looking at the videos of the game, and my computer's like, please, you're never playing this. But I have to say, the game I'm most curious and excited to see what it actually is like is The Old Republic. I have confidence in BioWare, and I want to see them come up to the plate here and really show off their storytelling and update it constantly. So that's my choice.
Actually, I looked up the thing for the Knights of the Republic, the second one. I think it's either the Odyssey engine or Obsidian you're looking for.
Obsidian. It's Obsidian. Obsidian was who did it. And they were rushed for release of that. Anyone who's plays the Knights of the Republic 2 introduces some really good ideas. A lot of what was discussed about Dragon's Age, interactions with characters, having to say, you know, mention certain things to unlock certain abilities. In that game, you can kind of turn everybody into a Jedi if you influence people the right way. And they took what BioWare did in the first game and expanded it, but that game, in a lot of ways, feels rushed and unfinished because they were forced, they were pushed by, I believe it's EA, to get that game out, because EA never forces people to rush out games. No.
EA's
so patient with everything. But they have been patient with Tor, and they've given BioWare the time to build up this this game, and I hope they do it. I really do, because I like MMOs when they're fun and when they have good story. And if anybody can do it, Knights of the Old Republic Online can. So,
Okay.
Yeah.
Great explanation there, Issues Guy.
Oh, I like to talk.
So I think that about wraps up today's episode. And first of all, thank you all so much, Issues Guy, Sarge, and Rachel Moore. I have a ton of games to play now.
Thank you.
Snoopy.
Yeah.
I'm totally going to get into Saints Row 2 and
yeah,
3.
Skip the
yeah,
first
you'll
one.
Love it, man.
3 and everything. Hey, I took the stuff from Art. The Issues Guy would not stop talking about Arkham Asylum. It's just, I need to get this. I was like, I love it, it's awesome.
It was tough for me to decide for my favorite game of the year between two of my favorite things, Link and Batman, so that's why I kind of went with Tor, because I'm also excited about Skyward Sword, but, you know, as the last big Wii game to come out, really, as the big last hurrah to the system.
Yes.
I just want to say one more thing, just more or less, does anybody else feel that we missed anything, or would you like to, like, emphasize more on anything that we talked in this whole episode? Anything?
Not at all. I feel it's just fine the way it is. Do you feel?
Yes.
I think I'm more excited for games coming out 2012 than I am about this year.
Metro Last Light. Oh, my God.
We got BioShock Infinite. Yes. Last Guardian.
BioShock Infinite looks so
Infinite's going to be amazing.
And then we got the Wii U actually
Pikmin
being released.
Pikmin 2 will be coming out in 2012, and Luigi's Mansion 2.
Yay! Yep.
Well, that's coming out at the end of this year, actually, I think.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
No, that's coming out on the Wii U, I thought.
No, it's 3DS.
Oh, it is 3DS?
Which one?
Luigi's Mansion 2.
Luigi's Mansion 2 is 3DS, but Pikmin 3 is Wii U.
And 3DS. It's going to be both.
So I can cry in public now.
Yes.
Here's one that will probably piss everybody off, but apparently Halo 4 is supposed to be coming out next year as well.
Dun, da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da.
Because we need more Halo, just like we need more Modern Warfare.
But also the sad thing is that they
but I can't get another Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah, that you know what? That I do agree with. I think they need to do another Star Wars Battlefront 3.
But, it's about time.
For the most part, they refurbished the first Halo because of the 10-year anniversary edition, and they're putting that back out by the end of this year. I'm not too happy.
More
money for them.
I think if we had to remake any game, and let's go ahead and assume that it's going to be a great remake or sequel, I want to see another Eternal Darkness.
Yes!
I want to see Dig Dug.
But no, the whole psychological thing that Eternal Darkness does to you. Oh my God, my game's being deleted.
I know. No game has done it before or since. That game was ridiculous.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you on that one. No game ever fucked with my mind as much as that one.
Yeah. Eternal or another Darkness. Conquer's Bad Fur Day.
Conquer's Bad Fur Day, the best game in the
N64.
I know.
I couldn't believe that they got away with all that stuff that they had on Conkers. I'm like, what? Wait a minute.
And a Nintendo game.
Yes, it was a Nintendo
pollinating the flowers with big boobies.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love pollinated big booby flowers.
I am the great mighty Pooh. My butt, your butt, my butt.
Rare did that game, right? Conker's Bad Fur Day, I believe.
Rare did it.
Yeah,
yes.
Rare did it.
Back when Rare made some of the best friggin' games in the world. They did GoldenEye, they did that, they did Donkey Kong 64 as well.
Yep.
You know, I am glad that the new GoldenEye is going to have Daniel Craig instead of Pierce Brosnan.
New GoldenEye?
Yeah, well, it's already out in the Wii, but you're talking about the PSN and Xbox Live remakes, right?
Reloaded.
Yes, Reloaded.
GoldenEye 007 Reloaded.
Hey, yeah. Is anybody excited about Twisted Metal?
I am.
I like Twisted Metal. I just don't know how. I don't know. I think I might be over it. Yeah. I mean, if I'm going to play any kind of car game, I want Burnout, but like Burnout Takedown Revenge, not Burnout Paradise.
I'm surprised none of us have brought up the game Rage yet.
Yeah, I'm still on the fence about it. I don't know.
They need a Burnout 3DS is what they need. That'd be awesome.
I don't think they're going to do any more Burnouts. That's the problem. But I think
they have a new Burnout coming out. I think it's called Burnout Crash, I think.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I think you're right.
That's a little redundant of a name.
Burnout Emergency Ward.
Yeah. Burnout. Things go boom.
My head hurts.
No, but I think what they need to do is they need to take a lot of the games and put them together. Like, they need to put the Need for Speed Hot Pursuit with the Burnout and, like, the graphics on that. Along with that, what was the Disney Interactive one?
Split Second.
Split Second.
That's a game that needs to have a sequel.
Mix that with Altered Beasts and you'll have it.
See, I kind of disagree. I think we have too many mixed genres right now. Like, going back to the PS2 again and systems before that, everything was broken up to genres. And now it's like, it's RPG with RTS with a little bit of FPS and racing. And there's too many mixed genres. And I think, I mean, it's kind of like colors. When you keep mixing them and keep mixing them, they all come out the same color.
So
I'm worried that's going to happen pretty soon, that everything's going to be tasting and feeling the same.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying these are racing games, but I'm just saying that if they were to put the ideas together of those racing games, they could actually make one great racing game. Not like, I'm not saying like, yes, give me like first-person shooter with a racing game. No, I don't think that's...
Marathon golf. Run 5 miles, and then...
The only example of that I would like to see, I'd like to see them combine The Sims and SimCity into one big game where where I could spread out and design the city and go in and work with the people inside.
You know, they did do a game kind of like that. It was a long time ago. I think it was called, like, Sim Town.
Yes, I remember that.
I'm gonna try to find that somewhere because I enjoy both games, and I always wanted to combine them.
I don't know if it even work anymore because I know my old copy won't work on today's PCs.
Oh,
it's just like, nah, I'm too old. Like, it's, I tried to get like my old 98 game.
Yeah, Windows 98.
Oh my gosh.
I want them to remake Populous too and make a new version of Populous where you're a god and you just destroy and smite people.
Yeah, it's kind of like, what was that Lucas game that was like that? Antichrist?
Was that for, not N64, was that PS2?
Well, they had it also come out on PC, though. It was called Anti-Something or whatever, but it was an old Lucas game. And you could play either the god or the good side and control your world.
I remember seeing that. Yeah,
I can't remember what it was
called. I want to see a Daedalus encounter. I want to see a remake of that.
Anti-Slip?
Huh? Anybody remember that,
no?
Tia Carrera?
No.
Okay.
Crickets.
All right, I think we can stick a fork in this.
Okay.
We're done here.
All right, yep, I think we're done here. So
we could all individually talk about games for another three hours, but...
I know, I can go for days.
Me too.
Yeah, let's... All right.
I like that line.
Hey!
Line.
Yeah.
Hey!
All right, so remember, visit our website at bostonbashbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you've got any comments, questions, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com, and you can find me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Blawanek here, he's not into Twitter yet.
No Twitter. No Twittering for me.
No Twitter.
Yes, we're also on Facebook because MySpace sucks. And, you can find us both on our magazine part where you can like us and possibly love us. Or, next to that, and, we've
stalk
got
us.
Other, yeah, we've got the other setup where you can actually just, contact us straight out on the actual group page. And, we're looking forward to see whatever you can, ask us for questions. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's your turn to plug away.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
All right.
Plug.
Plug. You could find me at JC Sargents, JCSERGANT.
If you can't spell sergeant.
I can't spell sergeant. I'm illiterate.
Yeah, you don't deserve
you know what I mean.
The address.
Spell it correctly in all one word, and you'll find me on Twitter. And I'm also on Facebook. I don't have as many friends as these guys, but come and like me. I update it regularly. And also, you can check me out on... another page right here, the Issues Guy. Issues Guy, take it away.
Yes, you can find me at, if you search the Issues Guy on Facebook, you can also find me at I Got Issues Man at the Twitter, at the Twitting. You can find any of our videos or live shows at Ustream, www.ustream.tv/channel/the Issues Guy. And yeah, write me. Throw stuff at me if you see me on the street. You can throw bottles with messages at it and hit me or Sergeant over there in the head, and we will usually respond. And we'd like
always
to really
for guests.
Yeah, we don't care. We always want we like to communicate with the masses. We like mermaids and string cheese mixed with some chocolate. That's what we like, and we'd like to really thank everybody for inviting us.
I'm on hiatus because I'm moving.
Yeah.
So I did one last show the other last 2 weeks ago, and then I had to because I don't know where I'm going, but I have to move out. So
yeah. I'm gonna let him sleep in the litter box on my porch for a little while. But
huzzah!
Yes, we can do podcasts from out there. It's gonna be killer. But yeah.
All right, Miss Moore, your turn to plug away.
Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter. It's at the Rachel, but Rachel's spelled all fancy. It's R-A-Y-C-H-U-L. Facebook is the same thing, facebook.com/TheRachel. And on YouTube, which is youtube.com/RachelMoore. Or you can find all of that in one place on Rachel.com. Just Google Rachel and you'll find everywhere to find me.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Guys, this was a blast to do. We need to do this again.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We really...
Thank you,
in another 6 months at the end of the year for the year in review.
Yeah, maybe we can bring a lot of people in on this one.
Yeah, maybe they won't... They won't... Yeah, we can get a...
I'm thinking about doing a live... Does anybody... What does everybody think about doing a live show in front of
people? I do a live show every week. In fact, I jumped from my live show to come do this podcast today.
Okay.
So much fun. Like, if we could find a way of getting the Cabot Street Cinema and use that for a day that they're not playing Magic or a movie and rent that out and have that as a live show, like a double feature show.
But I have
show.
My night desk with lots of mana, so I can go play some Magic with them.
They can be playing Magic behind you.
That would That's be true. So awesome.
It'll be atmosphere.
We get
small stuff. Do a show right before a show, like right before the Issues guy performs. But that's my thing. That would be so awesome to do that live because right now this is where it's at as far as podcasting. And I'm very animated. I may not have been the loudest person in this podcast, but when it comes to talking about podcasts or movies or anything, I will talk your ear off just like this.
Absolutely.
He's got an artist that animates him right on the spot. He's so animated.
All right, we should probably talk about this after we finish recording.
Nice.
All right. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Blue Orc.
And Serge.
And the Issues Guy.
And Rachel.
And the lovely Rachel.
Say sayonara.
Which I'm following right now.
Saying sayonara, bitches. We are the Bastards.
Yeah.
Excelsior. Yeah.
Is that a Rebel Alliance necklace that you're wearing?
It is.
Rebel scum.
'Cause I